You join me in turning with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Turn my mic on here. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to take a little break from the woke series. May pick back up there next Wednesday. And just want to focus on praying tonight for the upcoming election. And what I would like to do is, after I give a little bit of a challenge here from God's Word, men, we will divide up and go down to the Christian's classroom and pray there together. And dear sisters in Christ here, if you would just pray and intercede here. We don't want to rush it tonight. We want to just take our time praying. Amen. We don't want to rush. This election, like every election, but especially this election, because this is where we're at, is extremely important. And we need God's miraculous hand to intervene on our country. And God's people, and I know you have been praying. I'm sure you have been, and I have been, and we will continue to do that. But I want to say a few things about that here in just a moment. But I want us to take that very seriously. This time next week, we will most likely have at least a good idea who's going to be our president for the next 4 years. God already knows, because He knows everything. But we want to do our part. And so I trust that we'll understand that one of the best things that we can do is to pray. Seek the face of God. And I know that we're going to do that because God tells us to, and we're going to just say, Lord, we want to obey. So 1 Timothy chapter 2. And it's always good to know the context of situations, you know. It's interesting to think about the fact that these believers were under the rule of Nero at this time, okay? And he was not friendly to believers. In fact, he became more and more antagonistic towards them, would blame them for the burning of Rome and whatnot, and the persecution picked up. But Paul is writing to Timothy to basically encourage him on how to instruct the people to pray for those that were in authority. One being Nero, and I'm sure many others. But he was pastoring Ephesus at the time, Timothy was. And so Paul's writing this letter to encourage this pastor to instruct the people to understand their responsibility of praying for all people, but specifically even those in authority, civil government, to be specific. So chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now I'll pause right there here. Just think about this context. When he's writing this, when he says all here, A-double-L, that does mean all. That means pray for Nero. He's included in that, an enemy of the gospel. And when I think of all men, sometimes Christians get the idea that we should only be praying for those that we agree with. But God's called us to pray for everyone. We are to be praying for President Joe Biden, Vice President Harris, and others that are in office right now. We need to understand we're praying for those Secretary of State and whatnot. We're going to be praying for those that are in authority, that God would help them. We're praying for all men. We're even praying for our enemies. That would be included in all men, those that have offended us, those that are perhaps even trying to harm us. God says pray for them. There is so much power in prayer. God designed it that way. But he says for all men. That's just a blanket, covers all people. And so I would say that I think it'd be safe to say, would you agree, that there are no exceptions? There are some that would say, the Catholics would say that we pray for the dead, but you won't find that in the Word of God. We pray for those that are living. All those that have breath. We're praying for them. And of course, we can't remember everybody's name, you know. Only God can do that. He knows all 8 billion souls that are currently living on this earth. He knows their DNA. He knows everything about them. We don't, but the ones we do know of, we can pray for them. We can call them by name. And certainly hope we'll always remember that. But then secondly, number 2, verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. You know, it's sad, you know, we're living in a day and age where the church is getting away from prayer meetings. I mean, just getting together and interceding. That's why we believe in things like Wednesday night prayer meeting. You folks are faithful, and I appreciate that. If we would have told the church last Sunday or the Sunday before, hey, y'all come on out Wednesday night. We've got Olive Garden for everybody. It's free. We probably have a few more people here tonight. You know, because people respond to that, but it's sad in some ways when the prayer meeting many times in churches is the least attended. And we shouldn't just settle for that. We should always strive to be meeting together for prayer and making a difference. God's people should put great emphasis on that. Families should be putting great emphasis on that. That's why I always encourage you men who are leaders of your home, lead your family in prayer. You know, just do it. It'll God will honor that for sure. And as a church, we certainly want to always be focusing in on that. There's about 7 words in Scripture that basically are synonymous with prayer. They carry the idea of prayer. It's interesting, 4 of them are right here in one verse. Verse 1, you got supplications. That's petitions. That is specific things that we are bringing before the Lord. Names, people, specific situations. Asking God for divine intervention. We also see prayers there. That's a more of a general statement, but it's prayers carries the idea of just how sacred of a duty it is. A sacred responsibility. I hope we don't ever treat it lightly. You know, it's an awesome, awesome responsibility that we get to engage in prayer. And that's the idea, the prayers. And then intercessions. That is going and interceding on others' behalf. Asking the Lord's specific intervention on specific situations. Interceding, being that one who stands in the gap, if you will. And we certainly are going to do that even tonight, and we do it. But then there's that 4th idea that many times we'll leave out when it comes to prayer, and that's the giving of thanks. I tell you, God really blessed my heart today at Good News Club. I don't always do this, but today I did. I'll invite one of the Good News Clubbers to come down and pray. I had this precious, precious little girl. I think she was either 2nd or 3rd grade. But I had several of them raise their hand. I said, can I have a volunteer to pray? You know, I tell them, is this serious? You know, it's not going to be for joking. And sure enough, this little girl was raising her hand. I noticed there's probably about 6 or 7 of them that volunteered, but I just pointed her out. And I'm so glad I did. That was just of God, because that little girl came down. And I want to tell you, she took probably, I don't know, it was just beautiful. She probably took maybe 30 seconds. Maybe it was longer than that. But she just thanked God for so many things. She was, Lord, thank you for my family. Thank you for our school. Thank you for my teachers. Thank you for our health. Thank you for my parents. Thank you. I mean, she was just thanking the Lord. She never asked for a thing. She just said, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. And when she said amen, I said, kids, praise the Lord. You see what this precious little girl just did? She gave that whole prayer just thanking God. I said, the Lord does like us asking for things. We should. We're commanded to. But praise the Lord, when God's people always make sure we thank the Lord. But that just blessed my heart, you know. I just think that she could tell somebody had been working with her. And her parents likely had been teaching her just to pray with gratitude, thanking God for all the things that are around her. It was just really, really, really good. But it says here, giving of thanks. And so even where we are today, we got so many things to be thankful for in America. We got so many things to be thankful for in our lives, in our church. And so we want to make that known. But when we get down here for the kings, why don't we just make general application? We're praying for those in leadership. And specifically with the election coming up, we are praying that God would have several things I'm praying for. And that's what I wanted to mention here in the next few moments, because the president is the commander in chief. Now, he is the commander in chief to the United States of America. But I want to tell you that the ultimate commander in chief is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's on the throne. And he's raising up kings and he's putting them down. He's a sovereign God and he's doing his work. But he does use his people. He does use his people to make an impact. Otherwise, this wouldn't even been written by God to us. If we couldn't make an impact with prayer, this verse would not be in the Bible. So we have to realize, hey, God wrote this for us because he's saying you can make a difference by praying for those in authority or those that are possibly going to be in authority. And so that's what we're going to do. And why? That we can lead a quiet. That is the idea of the opposite of anarchy. We don't want anarchy. We don't want chaos in our country. We've seen bits and pieces of it. But we want there to be a quietness. And it's interesting, this peaceable life, that if I understand this right in studying it, this peaceable life actually carries more of an idea of your inner peace. We want to pray in such a way that we can have not be full of anxiety about what all the things that are going on in our country, you know, and so there is a that possibility there for us to have, so to live a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So I want to give you 3 points tonight where I feel like we can really concentrate on our prayers. All right. So number one, I really want us to pray. First and foremost, in the context of the election, we need to pray for mercy. Okay? Mercy. Why mercy? Well, folks, the direction the country's going as a whole is, it's shaking its fist in the face of God. And I believe this is where God's people can intercede. As God told us here, he said, look, you know, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. And so we could say, Lord, we know that our country is murdering millions of innocent babies, the unborn. We realize that, a lot of people in this country, especially what I've seen in the past year, the anti-Semitism, just, very hateful towards even Israel. Lord, we understand our country is going in a direction, even in the idea of the attack on biblical marriage. and biblical gender, male and female. Lord, we understand and we see the depravity. And God, we deserve your judgment as a nation. But God, please have mercy. Amen? That's what we're crying out for. Have mercy, Lord. We want to make an impact. And would you give us more opportunities to keep going forward for the gospel's sake? And I believe the Lord will honor that. I really do. Don't give us what we deserve, Lord, please. And so I do want to pray about that. Now, if you're thinking I'm going to get up here and endorse a candidate, I'm not doing that. But I will tell you this. I will be praying. Anyway, let me just say this. In any election, no one can argue this. At least I don't think someone that's being reasonable. You are always, and I will always be voting for the lesser of two evils. I mean, I don't think you'll get away from that. Because there's no perfect person, right? Everybody has flaws, right? I mean, who doesn't have a flaw here tonight? I'm just kidding. We all do. So when you're thinking about it, I'm personally going to be voting the lesser of the two evils, because, of course, always any candidate's going to have issues. But this is where I believe we need to be understanding, as our role as Christians, we're not voting for personality, we're voting for policies. Policies that would be nearest to honoring biblical principles. And so we can't get caught up in the whole personality aspect of things. But I'm personally praying that God would give us one that's going to have policies that are going to honor the sanctity of life, that are going to honor marriage, okay, and honor the fact of God-given gender, especially in this now in sports, the sports arena, how they're trying to allow males to play sports on female teams, because they said they're now something different. I'm for policies that will put a hold on that, a stop on that, you know. And I could go down the line even with Israel. I want to go with a candidate that I believe is going to be more supportive of Israel. And because God tells us that we are to clearly bless Israel and pray for them. And I understand that, again, I'm not getting in all the details in that. But you know, I want to be for that candidate, honestly, that's going to, I'm praying that God would be merciful and give us that candidate that will help us to continue having the religious liberties we have without censorship. I mean, because there it could go in a direction very quickly, because when we preach on the Word of God, when it comes to homosexuality and transgenderism and things of that nature, and even for that matter, adultery and fornication, whatever, we preach on those things, you get the wrong authority, and hey, very easily they could say, we're going to, it's happening all around the world. You see it over in England. They're locking people up and calling it hate speech. They locked a woman up there in England. It's on video. You could see it very clearly. I saw it at a conference just a few weeks ago. This lady was standing there across the street from an abortion clinic, and all she was doing was praying. She's just praying. She wasn't causing a disruption. She wasn't impeding traffic. She was not doing any of that. She was just standing there and just praying. The officers came up, "Ma'am, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm just praying." "Well, you can't do that. Can't do that here." "Well, I'm just, this is a public place, officer. I'm praying." "You know, you can't do that." She's arrested. You say that can't happen in America. See the importance of voting and praying that God would be merciful to us and give us one that would truly honor those elements. I could go into other topics, but I'm not tonight for the sake of time. But you see, I said, number one, we need to pray for mercy. Secondly, we need to pray for unity. I honestly believe that whoever's in charge, whoever gets voted in, whether it's former President Trump or Vice President Harris, whoever is voted in, God's people have a mandate to be examples of unity and peaceable people. We are called to be one not to speak evil of dignitaries, as Peter would say it, and to just be hateful, that is, bitter. We want to pray for unity. And part of way of that praying for unity, this is something we can pray tonight. We need to pray that this would be a fair election. Pray that it will be done with integrity, that there would be no dishonesty and fraud, and that there would be no just lying or deception. Pray for unity. Pray for clarity. We need to pray that there would be just a good, strong, fair election. And no matter what, that as God's people, we will have a testimony of being reasonable people. That's important. Unity. And if you agree to that, would you say amen? Amen. People who promote unity. Doesn't mean we excuse sin or we are going to condone it. No, doesn't mean that at all. Just, I do believe God says in Romans that, I can't remember exactly how it goes, live peaceably with all men. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So, that's where we understand that aspect. But then, thirdly, this is my last one. I'm just trying to kind of narrow it down. There's a lot of other things that we could pray for in these regards, but we are praying for mercy. We are praying for unity. And thirdly, we're praying for revival. I believe y'all would agree with me tonight that the greatest need of the United States of America is not a conservative president. I believe with all my heart that the greatest need of America is local churches like Crooked Creek Baptist Church to experience Holy Spirit, heaven-sent revival. That is by far the greatest need of America. It is for us to have a renewed passion for Christ and for this lost world, of proclaiming the gospel and reaching the lost, reaching our neighbors, training our children to go be servants of God in this world, and just living sold out as disciples of Christ, growing in our prayer lives and seeing our prayer meetings increase, and our opportunities to intercede for others. That's what we need. So as I think about this election, let's not pray as if everything rides on this election as far as the hope of America. Because honestly, I feel like it's for us to get real personal and take ownership that we have a responsibility as well. And so let's pray that God give us a stirring, a renewing, a refreshing here in our own church at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. Call your family's name out. God, do a work in that Jennings family. Do a work of renewing and call your own name out. Call your family name out. God, do a great work in and through us. And so those are three main areas that I would like for us to pray for, and that the Lord would make a great impact through our prayers even tonight. And even in the coming days, seek for opportunities to pray and be a blessing.